Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Near and Queer to My Heart podcast. I'm your host, Amanda G. This is another one of those special storytelling episodes. This one comes from the Greetings from Queer Mountain storytelling show in New Orleans back from February 2023. The storyteller, Shep Kelly. Incomparable, amazing, hilarious, on and off stage, honored to call her a friend. And what I really love about this story is Shep is a stand-up comic. So Shep is used to telling stand-up jokes, riffing with the audience, just having a good time. And this one, Shep goes deep. Shep opened up for the first time afterwards. We talked about it outside. Shep was, it opened up a whole new world for her. And it was so cool to see that. Someone who's been performing for over a decade. And here they are doing something new on stage, and we get to share it with y'all. And I'm so excited. So please welcome this special storytelling episode of Shep Kelly at Greetings from Queer Mountain, New Orleans.
This first performer, she is a stand-up comedian who I've known for years. She does shows not only all over town, but all over the country. She's traveling around doing comedy all the time, and she just started a monthly show over at Hi-Ho. She's about to start a mic over at Bar Redux, and every Sunday night you can see her at Hi-Ho. They do open mic comedy over there, and she's one of the co-hosts of that, so you can check her out then. But you can check her out right now, so let's start making some noise for Shep Kelly, everyone.
How y'all doing? I'm about to do something I've never done before. I'm gonna tell a story. Normally when I do the show, I tell jokes and it be around the thing, but I do my set and I have a good time. But tonight, I'm gonna tell a story. Now, it's a story I don't think anybody in New Orleans really knows. I mean, I think they know bits and pieces, but not like the whole thing, right? And I'll just say this, the name of the story, or the name of this piece, right? Because I'll be wanting to do like pieces. I don't know why. I think it's interesting to do pieces. I don't even know what that means. But the name of this piece is Shirley. But I'll say this. If it starts out petty, it will end up petty. All right? All right, so this is actually my coming out story. And it's really not a coming out story at all. I was outed. So I'm originally from Miami. I was raised in a West Indian household, you know. I tried to dress like it tonight. I like themes and shit. I don't know if y'all knew that. But yeah, so my mom's Jamaican. She's from Kingston. And she's a hard worker. But the thing is, when you're an immigrant, what happens is your parents, they come to whatever land first, and then they send for their children. So she was the oldest of seven, and she was the last to come over, right? And she spent a lot of time in Jamaica, impoverished. She worked hard. And, you know, when she got here, she, you know, because of all the things she went through, she worked hard to make a life for herself. And she did an amazing job. Like, I know not to be ashy. I know to take baths. I know to iron my clothes. I know not to go too expensive on my shit just because, you know, at the end of the day, you could be hungry, right? Amazing woman. And she lives in Miami now. But the reason I brought up the fact that she was the last child to come over is she had a child before she came over. And it's always best to take the youngest ones first, because, you know, school systems, you want to get them acclimated to whatever, and the older ones can fend for themselves for the most part, right? So she was the last to come over, and very ambitious. She did a great job raising us and everything. But this isn't about her. It's about me, right? Just want to give y'all a little bit of a background, because that's why it gets petty, because she was amazing, but then she fucked up some shit and got petty. And then I got, I'm going to get petty back. All right, so what happened is she married a man in 1988. I was the tender age of 8 years old. I only keep track because of the years and how they line up because I got ADD and I wouldn't have remembered that shit. So she married a man. He was also a Jamaican man. He came over and they got married and they lived and we lived and everything was nice. And then around 1995, he sent for his son that he had left in Jamaica. Now, his son that had lived in Jamaica, he was 15 at the time. I'm sorry, 16 at the time. I was 15. And he had been living impoverished in Jamaica the entire time. Like, I'm living my best life. Well, maybe not my best, but, you know, my best black life in America. And we got a pool in the backyard and everything. You know, it was amazing. And he comes over where he's, you know, used to not having food in the fridge, his mom struggling, suffering and everything. And he came over with a chip on his shoulder. So summer of 95, I'm in the marching band in high school. I'm doing great things. And he comes over and all of a sudden I got an instant sibling. And I'm trying to show him around and do everything. But, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder, so he hates everything I show him. All my friends are not his friends. We're in high school. He's trying to be cool, but he's lame because he's, you know, he's never had shit. So, I mean, it sucks to say it like that, but that's how it is. It's like, you know, I'm in Miami and everybody's acting all uppity. And he's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm a great guy. And they're like, who the fuck is that? And why do none of his clothes match? And none of these things. Like, these are things that black people think about. Like, if your clothes don't match, you ain't shit. That's how we think. And so I tried to make him, you know, a part of the group, but it just didn't work out really. And so what would happen is, that was summer school before the, you know, school year started. And what happened is during that 2 weeks before summer school, before regular school started and after summer school ended, I would spend a lot of time talking on the phone to a lady I met. Really, she wasn't a lady. She was about 19. I was 15. But hey, when you gay, numbers don't matter, right? And I met her at my first job working at Checkers. Which you don't have to really show ID to get the job. I showed him my school ID and told him I was 16, so I got the job. And it was great. My resume has grown so far since then. But she was my trainer, and she was amazing. And so I would just be talking to her on the phone all day, all night. Parents aren't home, you know. And this is back in the day when we had landlines. Y'all remember those? Yeah. So on landlines, you could be on one phone, and someone could pick up another phone in the house and hear your entire conversation, you know. And so because he was disgruntled from, you know, all of these things that I talked about previously, he would pick up the phone occasionally and listen in on my conversations. And one day he decided to speak when he picked up the phone. He was like, who are you talking to? And why, you know, is that a woman that you're talking to? Like, this is crazy because, you know, y'all spend a lot of time on phones. Where are y'all boyfriends? You know? And I was like, oh, shit. You know? Boy, what you talking about, boy? I don't know what you're talking about. This girlfriend, no, that's not a thing. What you talking about? This is crazy. This is, you know, because, of course, I'm not out. So, in a petty fashion, he disclosed to his father and my stepfather that I was in a relationship with a woman. And school starts, and it's amazing because I went to band camp, and that's always amazing. And then, you know, the year starts and I'm doing my thing on the marching band field. I'm in the ROTC. I'm in AP classes. I feel like I'm making my parents proud. And one Friday night after a football game, I came home and my mom. Okay, so I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with this part of black culture, but if your parents are on the phone when you walk in the house or if you're making any kind of noise and you make any kind of noise while they're on the phone, you will get your ass beat, right? That's a real thing. So I walk in the house, I see my mom on the phone, so I'm trying to tiptoe to my room to not make, you know, interrupt her call. And she actually interrupted the call. She said, hey, let me call you back. And I was like, oh shit. The fuck did I do? You know. So I was like, damn, the dishes. I did the dishes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I did everything she said. I was out late, but she knows I'm in the marching bands, Friday night football games, it's great. You know, I should be fine. So I start walking a little faster to my room because I heard her ending the call. And so she says, hey, can you come in for a minute? Can I talk to you? And I got my trombone in my hand, you know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, give me 1 second, Mom. I'm just going to put this in my room. I'm trying to get my shit together because I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I did. She ended that call. And so she's like, no, don't worry about it. Just put it down right there. I just want to talk to you. And so I was like, oh, I'm in real trouble. Like, she, you know. So I sat down on the couch. And she says, hey, I've been hearing a couple rumors that maybe, you know, you like women. And for some reason, you're walking around the house with masks on and dildos on. And I'm like, this is trash. Because first of all, I don't have no money for no dildo. That's one. Number two, I'm in Miami. Why the fuck would I be wearing a mask? I'm not in New Orleans yet, right? So, you know, it's crazy. So I was like, no, this is all a lie. Like, again, I'm embarrassed. I hadn't been outed, or I hadn't come out. So I was terrified. I didn't know what to think. And I was like, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to go to bed. It's been a long day. And she says, well, no, I just want you to know that if you are a part of that community, if you are gay or lesbian or whatever, just know that I'm your mom and I love you and you can tell me and it's all good. And I was like, all right, a little tear went down my eye. And she was like, are you gay? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you got to get the fuck out of my house. That is what happened, yeah. And I was like, what? I mean, because you said the disclaimer was. And so that didn't work out well. And so I ended up going to live with my sister, who at the time just dated drug dealers, and she had a bunch of children. And I love her, and I love all the kids and the drug dealers. They bought nice things. And I thought that it was amazing. I thought that it was amazing that that I was living with her. But because she dated drug dealers, they eventually had a drug bust on the house. And it, you know, I don't even know where she went. I mean, it was just crazy. They were giving us no information. It was weird. This is Miami in the early 90s, right? And so I just, you know, got my shit together. I'm in the house by myself and went to school the next day. And when I got home from school the next day, the house had been burglarized or torn apart by the DEA. I have no idea, right? So I'm there. And I'm frustrated because I'm like, school books are fucked up. Everything's fucked up, right? And so I call the police and I'm like, hey, you know, my house has been burglarized. I just want y'all to know that, you know, this happened. And they were like, well, you're only 15, so you can't make this report. And I was like, okay, well, had a little weed from high school, you know, because that's what we was doing, smoking weed. And I threw it at the cop and I was like, I'm fucking done, right? So he's like, look, you're not going to, you know, I'm not going to take you to jail. I'm going to take you to Covenant House. And so I went and I lived at Covenant House for about 4 months. And from there, I signed up for a Job Corps and to finish high school. You know, this is, you know, a year ago, I was in high school, AP classes, marching band, ROTC. And a year later, I'm at Job Corps trying to get a GED. Like, it was crazy. Life changed really fast. Anyhow, I subsequently joined the military where I put my whole life back together. Right. Thank you, Uncle Sam, I guess. Right. And life was going good. And my mom didn't know I was in the military for the first 2 years that I was in. She didn't know. She didn't care. It was fucked up. She was crazy. And so when I got out of the military, she called me up and she said that she had been watching Ellen. And she realized at that time that gay people aren't so bad. And it really pissed me off because I was like, Ellen ain't your fucking child, you know. And so I years later moved to New Orleans and, Metairie. And they had Ellen up on some billboards, and it made me feel like I need to do something petty because this shit was fucked up. Like, and Ellen, you know, triggered me, right? And so my plan is, when my mom is, you know, in her late years, I skipped a big part of this story, but I'll just say this. I have an aunt who I'm running out of time, so I gotta hurry up. But I have an aunt who made me privy to some information when I was in my 20s, still in the military. And what she said was, when your mom came over from, you know, to the States, she got into it with your grandmother, and your grandmother put her out for a year, and she met a woman named Shirley. And Shirley was a butch bitch that helped her take care of her, you know, child that she brought back from Jamaica. And when she put herself back on her feet, Shirley was gone, right? And so my mom doesn't know I know about Shirley to this day, right? And so my petty little thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until she's old and gray and probably hooked up to some machine. And I'm going to whisper in her ear, I know about Shirley. Because I'm petty. I bet you're telling y'all.
Time for Chef Kelly, everyone. This is what I love about this show, because Shep and I do comedy together all the time, and like seeing Shep so vulnerable and like learning new things about Shep, like you were in band camp. it's pretty fucking incredible. It's pretty incredible. I'm really enjoying this. No, but thank you, Shep, for sharing that story.
Thank you so much to Shep Kelly. That was amazing. If you want to learn more about Shep, check out our episode 18. That's when we do a one-on-one interview with Shep. Near and Queer to My Heart, episode 18. You can follow Shep at Shep Kelly Comedy on Instagram. We have it all in the liner notes. You can follow us at Near and Queer to My Heart on Facebook and Instagram, at Queer to My Heart on Twitter, X, whatever they want to call it now. If you're old school, email us, nearandqueertomyheart@gmail.com. Stay tuned for more interviews, more storytelling from the queer performers that you know and love. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.